that have gone up, the scriptures that have been read, communion, and just being able to worship together is a great privilege. And we just thank God that we can do it morning and in the evening. And to encourage one another as we face this week, it's good to know that at least I have some ammunition to help me as I go throughout the week. We want to keep some of our leaders in our prayers who have left town and they're out of town and headed to the Ministers Institute Conference. And we ask, solicit your prayers as Brother Worthy and I will leave on tomorrow. We had the great privilege of being at the Marsalis Avenue Church of Christ this afternoon to celebrate Brother Lamont Ross, who was installed today as the minister at the Marsalis Avenue Church. And they would, I know, solicit and welcome your prayers as they make that transition. And tonight, we're just appreciative to be able to share from the Word of God. And I want us to look at Matthew chapter 21, Matthew chapter 21, to the scripture that was read in our hearing, verse number 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men?" And they reasoned within themselves, saying, "If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet." And they answered Jesus and said, "We cannot tell." And he said unto them, "Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." I want to look at the question that was presented to Jesus when the chief priests and the elders came to him while he was teaching. They said, "By what authority doest thou these things?" And I want to lift that question as the theme of our message tonight. By what authority do you do these things? If we were to take a religious poll in America, we would be overwhelmed with the percentage of people who would tell us that one religion is just as good as another. And if you assert that there is only one religion that all people need to be a part of, someone would ask you, "What gives you the right to exalt your religion over everyone else's?" And they might even insist that you are arrogant and you are uppity to suggest that everyone must believe as you believe. And the question we are left to ponder is, Would that be an accurate assessment? Would those who assert that everyone has to be a part of one religion, would those individuals be arrogant and egotistical to insist that we must all conform to one religion? Would it be a correct judgment? And would they be able to ask us, by what authority do you say that? What gives you the right to require that? And they would be right. I think that's a legitimate question to ask. Why can you say that? I know this is not a gospel meeting, but I'm a gospel preacher. And I feel that it be right for a person to ask us that question. The same question. If you feel that it's egotistical and arrogant for me to say that it's necessary for all people to be a part of the same religious body, then I could ask the same question. By what authority do you say that we cannot or we don't need to be a part of? And who gave you that authority? See, there's something we need to know from a definitional standpoint, is that when it talks about authority, authority is defined as the right to command and enforce obedience. It is the right, as by virtue of an office or a station or a relation, to demand and command compliance. Let me give you an example. By right of the relationship I have with my children, because I am their father, that gives me the right to command and demand obedience. Now, that's because of the station that I hold. God gives us that right. Now, there's very little we can do in life and not have authority. Before you drive a car, you're supposed to have a license, some authority given to you by the state of Texas, which allows you to get on the streets of Texas and drive. That's a thought. If you want to get married, before you can have a ring, pay for the ring. It be a nice ring. But before you can come down the aisles, you must have authority from the county clerk in order for you to be married. You would not want a doctor practicing medicine on you who did not have authority to practice medicine. Even if you want to go to another country, you have to have the authority of a passport, a visa, to even, you can buy the ticket, pay good money, be in first class. But if you don't have the passport, the visa that allows you to travel from the United States to another country, you'll never be able to go. Can't even attend a basketball game, not even a high school basketball game, without an authorized ticket to get in. Every facet of life demands some authority. And I just believe if we need authority for all these mundane activities, is it unreasonable to believe that in the realm of religion, man must or can do whatever he wants without having proper authority? And this was the question that was brought to Jesus in Matthew chapter 21. Here an entourage of Jewish leaders, the elders, chief priests, and scribes see all that Jesus was doing and wanted to know, by what authority are you doing these things? And not only did they want to know by what, they wanted to know who gave it to you. Well, the question I asked was, what was Jesus doing? When you look at Matthew 21, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And when he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, the people laid out their clothes on the road. They cut branches off of trees and they spread those branches on the road. And as Jesus passed by, the people were yelling out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The people were giving Jesus praise. Jesus went into the temple. You see in Matthew chapter 12 that Jesus went into the temple and he saw all of the religious chaos that was going on, and there were money changers and who were selling doves, and Jesus came in and beat those folk up out of there. Told them to get out, threw over the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, and told them, "My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Jesus was driving out those who were defiling the temple of God. Then the blind, the lame were coming to Jesus. Jesus was healing them. Little children were coming to him, and they were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Jesus said unto them, when the scribes and the Pharisees were upset in Matthew 21 and verse number 16, he said, "Hearest thou these things?" And Jesus said unto them, "Have you not read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" So they wanted to know, how is it that you are able to receive praise? You come into the temple and you drive out the money charges. You are upsetting our finances. And how are you able to do this? And by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? And I thought it was interesting that while he was teaching, they rudely interrupted him. They came in and wanted to know why you could do this. And that's a valid question, because it's revealing and it's also relevant. It's revealing because they recognize that a person asserting a doctrine, a new teaching, must have some authority. If anybody is going to act in behalf of God, they must have authority. It's relevant tonight because there are many who are performing works and religious acts who are doing them without authority. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of God, of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." In other words, there are a lot of people who talk a good gain religiously. They know the proper religious slogans. They have the proper religious saying. But the sad commentary is that they may not have the authority as authorized by God. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Jesus says in Matthew 7 and verse 22 that many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonderful works in your name? Not a few people, but many. There are going to be many people who pull out their religious resumes. They're going to pull out their religious portfolios. They have an anthology of works. And they're going to show the Lord, and they're going to list it there. We've cast out demons. We've been singing in the choir. We visited the sick. We established colleges. We authored books. We edited your commentaries. We were chairman of the religious board. We were educational directors. And I'm talking about that many will have many wonderful works. And then the next verse says, I will declare, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We're talking about being the anatomy of discipleship and knowing the word of God. We have to have a thus saith the Lord for whatever we do when it comes to religion. Or we may hear, I never knew you. I can look at your resume and look at your bio and look at my portfolio, and Jesus will still say, I never knew you, because you worked without authority. If you work without authority, you cannot expect to get compensation. I remember one Christmas, we came to one of our neighbors' homes, and they had all these nice lights. You know how you do, you get the, I mean, you know, you put up lights, but these were, you could tell, these were the professional lights. And we were enjoying the fact that they were able to get these nice lights. And we asked them, who put up your lights? They said, I don't know. I said, but they look so nice. What do you mean you don't know? We did not tell anybody to put up lights on our house. We just came home and we saw these beautiful Christmas lights on our house. And I said, man, ain't that a blessing? And come to find out, the next day she received word that the Christmas light hangers made a mistake. She lived on 409 Waterwood, but the lights were to go to 409 Waterford. And I asked her, are they going to charge you for these lights? She said, they not charging me anything. I didn't authorize them to put these lights on my house. That's what Jesus is saying, is that some people are just like that light company, doing a whole lot of work without compensation, because they have no authorization for what they're doing in the first place. So that's why you got to ask the question, by what authority? Jesus says, Matthew 21, 23. He says, and where did you, they said to him, where did you get this authority? There's a source of authority. And even these Jews recognize that there were two sources of authority. That either the source is from God or the source is from man. Now, man has two sources of authority, one that is external and one that is internal. See, the external source of authority is authority given to him by another. Another man, a group of men, or a source from man. In other words, when you think about our government is an example of external authority. We, the people, are given authority to elect our government. And the representatives that we elect are given authority to make decisions for the people. Now, I didn't ask you whether you was Republican or Democrat or your person won or not, but whoever is in there was voted and elected and given authority to represent the state or the United States of America. And I think we got to thank God that we live in a country where we have the authority to elect our government. And I know there's some of them we wish we could take out. But the Constitution allows us to have freedom. Freedom of religion. It's a constitutional right for us to worship anywhere we want to, with anyone we want to, anytime we want to, any way you want to, any day you want to. That's a constitutional right that we have as American citizens. But in religion, there are many who believe in a pluralistic religious agenda, which means every religion is just as good as another. And that just can't operate. That can operate in a democracy, but it can't operate in a theocracy. Because God has the final say in everything that we are authorized to do. You remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter, James, and John were there. Peter got up on the mountain. He saw Moses and Elijah, and he got happy and said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for thee. And then he said, let's let the people have a choice. There came a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear you him. The Bible says that after they heard that voice, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. God frowned on multiple churches then. And he's frowning on it now. And that was in Matthew 17. Peter had already forgotten what he said in Matthew 16, how he was going to build just one church. I just know that there are some who have this notion that any church will do, but that's just not God's way. Because Christ didn't die for every church. Acts 20 and verse number 28 says, therefore take heed to yourselves. All the flock of God which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. The church cost too much for any one of them to do. When you buy something precious and costly, a substitute will not do. If you buy a diamond ring and you discover that it's cubic zirconium, you're taking it back. Because the cost of a diamond is incomparable with the cost of cubic zirconium. Christ's blood is more precious and valuable than any diamond. Peter told me, he said, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth in him shall not be confounded." Since he is precious, his blood is precious. Since his blood is precious, his church has to be precious, because the purchase price of the church is his blood. Christ promised that he would build the church. Since he purchased it, he bought it, he owns it, he ought to be able to name it. He ought to be able to distinguish it. According to Romans 16, the collective congregations were designated as churches of Christ. So by what authority can the church be called by any other name that does not honor Christ? And then you have to ask, where did you get that authority? Was it by divine means, or was it by human means? Man has to recognize that God is the ultimate source of authority, and whatever we do must be done by his authority. But man has an internal authority, and it's called his conscience, his feelings, and that sometimes he makes decisions out of that conscience and out of those feelings. Sometimes even in religion today, we see people telling us, "I just feel like that's right." Y'all don't have no feeling. But your feelings can be your guide. Because if the conscience and feelings and reasoning were assurance of what you were doing is the right thing, then Paul would have been all right as he persecuted the church. Paul, when he was persecuting and killing Christians, he had it in his mind that what I'm doing is the right thing to do. And when you look at the book of Acts, he did it with a clear conscience. He said he had authority. He had authority given to him by men to do what he was doing. They signed off on it. And in his conscience and in his mind, he thought by imprisoning and killing Christians, he was doing the right thing, until he was stopped on the Damascus Road. We have many who are sincere, doing good works, yet not under the authority of Jesus Christ. They can be zealous and enthusiastic, but zeal and enthusiasm is not a criteria of acceptability with God, or else the Jews would have been all right. Paul said, "I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge." Everything we do needs to have this question behind it. By what authority are you doing these things? Even as we raise our children, sometimes we got to ask, by what authority are we doing these? As I treat my wife and as I treat people, I got to ask, is this in harmony with God's will, or am I responding out of what I think and what I feel versus what does God desire for me to do? And the interesting thing about this whole scenario is that in Matthew 21, Jesus gave them the opportunity to have their question answered. In Matthew 21, 25, he says, I got a question for you. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or men? And they reason within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not believe him? If we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. So they had the opportunity to get the answer to their question. And they said, once Jesus asked his question, they said, we cannot tell. And they left in the same condition in which they came. And the sad commentary tonight is that men and women in the world can have their questions answered if they would look to the divine authority. But some will not, and they would rather leave in the same condition in which they came, because they recognize that if I give in to what Jesus says, I have to reject what I've been doing. I have to give up what I've thought and what I believe and what I feel. I have to come up out of myself, and I just can't do it because I have too much at stake. What is so important that you cannot give it up in exchange for your soul? What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Is giving up your ideas and your feelings and your thoughts and your reasoning too much to give up in order for you to please God? That's the question that's on the floor tonight. Whenever you leave out of here and people ask you a question, why do you believe what you believe and why do you take that stance? Don't tell them that's because what the preacher told me. It's because of what I've been convinced of and convicted of by the word of Almighty God. I studied it for myself, and I know that God has stamped it with his divine authority. And if we're going to be disciples, we're going to have to know the word of God. And I know every now and again there comes a question that you won't know, and you got to run and make a call to somebody. And that's all right to make a call and get you some word from somebody else, but make sure that you keep on growing in the word of God. You cannot be a disciple. We learn that that's a learner, a follower, a scholar of the word of Jesus. If you're here tonight, you're not a child of God. You need to become one, because God has requested that you come. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He doesn't make you come. He doesn't force you to come, but he requests that you come. He desires that you come. But can you give up what you've thought and exchange it for what God would have you to do according to his divine authority? If you're here, you're a child of God, but you've just been going through life willy-nilly. Don't know what you believe or why you believe it. Make a recommit yourself today that in 2015, I'm going to become a better disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to understand why I believe and why I believe it.
be able to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within me, I'm going to make a commitment that I'm going to give my whole attention to the Word of God. If you're here, you stand subject to the invitation. Won't you come? We stand as we sing. Will you come?
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know that I have no friend like you. And if heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? And the angels beckon me, though. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And they're all expecting me. And that's one thing I know. And my Savior pardoned me. And now I onward go. And I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know that I have no friend like you. And if heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? And the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And just up in glory land we'll live eternally. And the saints on every hand are shouting victory. And their song of sweetest praise drifts back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know that I have no friend like you. And if heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? And the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of I'm singing, oh, precious is thy flow that makes me white as snow, and no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And for my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And for my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm singing, oh, precious is thy flow that makes me white as snow, and no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm singing, oh, precious is thy flow that makes me white as snow, and no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, and when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. And on that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, and when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And when the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Brother Bashaw, we'd like to thank you for the message this afternoon. It makes you sort of wonder if you